On the Record with Gavin Riley on News Talk.
The front page of the Sunday Times tells us more about the cyber attack on the HSE. It says that Russian hackers first broke into the HSE computer network at least 2 weeks ago, infecting critical sections of it with ransomware before striking in the early hours of Friday morning. The group had spent days inserting malware across the entire network. It says that the full scale of the attack is still emerging and the network is being painstakingly cleaned and restarted, but it's expected to be at least another week before the system is fully operational again. We'll be talking to the Chief Operations Officer of the HSE about that in just a few minutes. And finally for now, more on the HSE on the front page of the Irish Mail on Sunday. Gang demands $20 million from the HSE. Cyber terrorists are seeking a $20 million ransom from the state, and they claim to have had access to the health system's IT network for 2 weeks before making their demands. Well, let's talk about that story this morning. We're joined on the line by the Chief Operations Officer of the HSE, Anne O'Connor. Anne, I know it's been a very, very busy 52 hours or so for you, so very much appreciate your time this morning. Can you bring us up to speed on exactly how much or how little of the HSE's IT system is back up and running this Sunday morning?
Good morning, Gavin. It's been an exceptionally, I suppose, an extraordinary couple of days for us. The reality is there's not much back up and running. Where we're at the minute is that we have between yesterday morning and this morning found that we do have some clean backup data available to be able to rebuild our servers from. However, we have thousands upon thousands of virtual servers, so each server is going to have to be rebuilt and brought back up individually. So it's going to be a slow process. Our system has been very significantly compromised across the board, both in terms of our patient management systems and also our other systems, which, whilst they're lower risk from a patient perspective in terms of even just communicating with patients, with GPs, communication between hospitals and community services, all of that, that's all gone too. So it's not there yet.
So as it stands then right now, do you know the exact extent to which the system was compromised and how much data might have been accessed by these people?
No, we don't know how much data. That work is underway. We know that it has had a very significant impact across the board, and we have teams, and I suppose just to note the very significant support we're getting from across the whole industry on this internationally as well, working to determine what impact there has been on data, or indeed what data has been taken. So the nature of this attack is that our data has been encrypted and possibly stolen, but we just don't know that bit of it yet. And that is being worked through at the minute.
Is it encrypted locally, that if some outsider was getting access to this data, would it have been encrypted when they found it? Or are we talking about the idea of criminals stealing the data and encrypting it and looking for a ransom to give it back?
Yeah, it's taking the data and encrypting it. So our data is encrypted, but they encrypt it and seek money to give us the code to release it back to us.
If it were already encrypted on your own servers, does that mean that it would have been, how likely is it that the criminals would have been able to then to decrypt and to figure out exactly what's contained within it?
I genuinely don't know the answer to that, Gavin. Sorry, I'm not a tech person exactly, but I think in terms of the encryption piece, I know that we have very robust virus protection at the best of times. And this is a zero-day threat in the sense that, you know, this is a new type of virus that has come into us, and that has been worked through in terms of what it will take now to be able to rebuild servers. There's a whole world of people dealing with the cyber element of it in terms of what it will take to do that. But I think in terms of us, from our perspective, we are looking at rebuilding from clean backup data.
When you have so many different elements and so many different systems and virtual machines, as you said, the idea of rebuilding from virtual backups, it must be the work of not days, rather, but weeks.
Yeah, so I mean, our priority has to be patient management systems. Our biggest risk at the minute relates to the fact that our core patient management system is down, as is our core radiology system. So all of our diagnostic capability in terms of radiology has gone. We are currently disconnecting machines, and we have spent years developing an integrated system. So we're now trying to disconnect so that individual pieces of equipment can work in isolation. But the risk for us is, so for example, if you've somebody coming into a hospital, for anything, we have no capability now to look back at any previous tests, any previous scans. We can't order lab tests or radiology electronically. So normally if you're in a hospital now, it's all done through computers and the results come back. So for anybody coming in, it's back to manual handwritten notes. We have people in hospitals delivering pieces of paper around with lab results, etc. So it really is going back many, many years for us on this. And there's a risk with that in terms of how we can do our business. So our priority has got to be to get a patient management system back that gives us access to people's information. So even things like blood transfusions, matching bloods, looking at previous records with medications, allergies, etc. We don't have any access. Now, I would emphasise, Gavin, that there's a bit of a difference in the East because of the voluntary hospitals. So some of the big hospitals in Ireland, and we're talking about the Mater, Beaumont, James's, Tala, Vincent's, and then in Cork, the Mercy and South Infirmary, that they are voluntary hospitals on a slightly different system. There are some impacts there, but not as significant.
So they're kind of insulated in some way because of how they're managerially independent in some way.
Yeah, they're in a different kind of a system, and they haven't had the same impact on the patient management systems. They are impacted in radiology because NIMIS is across the board. So all of our radiology, and of concern to us, is the radiation oncology. So for people with cancer, our radiation oncology system is compromised across the board. So you may have noticed that St. Luke's, for example, cancelled all radiation oncology, both on its own site and in Beaumont and St. James's as well. And that is a big challenge for us. So that's a priority system to get back. We have arrangements in place for urgent cases, but in the main, that has been cancelled too. So these are very significant steps that we've had to take. And clearly, people are very anxious. So people listening who have appointments and who feel that their care might be compromised will be very anxious about this.
And on that note, then, one of the other difficulties you have is because there's so many different ways in which these things are managed, and you have different hospital groups, there is no single national piece of advice as to whether people should still attend for their appointment or wait to be called.
That's right. So our single national piece of advice is to please look at the HSE website, where we are updating. I've just come off a call with all the groups and community health organisations now. We're updating that constantly. What I would say, there's a couple of broad brush strokes that I can say. So, for example, in the West, so Donegal, Sligo, Mayo, Galway, they have now cancelled all outpatient appointments. If your appointment is proceeding, they will contact you. The same with Children's Health. So Crumlin, Temple Street and Tala, they have cancelled their appointments. In other places, so when you look at the south-southwest down in the south, they have cancelled some appointments. And important again to note that pretty much across the board, radiology appointments are cancelled. So anybody who was due to go in for an X-ray, an MRI, a CT, they have pretty much all been cancelled. When you come to the east, if you look at kind of Beaumont, Connolly, they're all going ahead apart from radiology. And the same in the Dublin Midlands Hospital Group, same in Ireland East Hospital Group and Limerick. So the website has all of that set out.
So if they go to hse.ie and click on the black bar across the top, they'll get the most up-to-date information there. It's pretty surreal to be talking about this in the middle of everything that the HSE has had to go through in the last 15 months, and that although we are hopefully coming out the other side, that we're still in the middle of a global pandemic. Are we totally confident that the vaccine management system, that it's kind of administered independently, and that it wasn't vulnerable or wasn't compromised in any way as a result of this?
We are, yeah. The COVAX system is a separate system, and thankfully it hasn't been impacted. So vaccinations are proceeding. There are some glitches. People may find it a little slower. For example, the emails, people accessing certain things, but that's not really a big problem for us at all.
And does that mean that the contact tracing and the test results and all of that, that's back fully online now as well?
That's back as well. Now, the testing is back. However, the referrals from GPs isn't. So we are still in the space where if you are symptomatic and if you are a close contact, our testing sites are now all walk-in. But what we are saying to people is that we are prioritising people who are symptomatic and close contacts. We have seen very high levels of attendance in the last couple of days because people don't need an appointment. But we would just ask people if they, you know, only to attend if you feel you need it.
So when they show up, they'll be assessed as to whether they have symptoms, whether they're a close contact or not, and then they might be told just to hang back for a little while.
Exactly.
Was there any discussion on, I know that several people, both on the HSE side and on the governmental side, have said that there was no discussion around paying the ransom. But first of all, I suppose, can shed any light as to whether any of this morning's newspaper reports are correct? Because the Mail on Sunday tells us that the ransomware carried a demand for $20 million. The Business Post tells us that it's 3 Bitcoin, which is around €140,000. Can you first of all shed any light as to which of either of them are actually correct?
I actually can't, Gavin. Sorry. I mean, the whole thing about the ransom, that's all being managed by the National Cybersecurity Team and government. It's not really being managed by the HSE. So I genuinely am not involved in that at all.
Okay.
It's a separate conversation. I do understand the state's position, though, is to not pay a ransom.
Well, that understandable as that might be, because you don't want to come across as being something of a soft touch, given the sheer extent to which things are compromised, wouldn't there have been maybe some consideration of paying up if it meant that you got control of your systems back and it meant then that you could go back to delivering, you know, in what in some cases are life-saving care to people?
Yes, I mean, again, thankfully, that's a decision that others will have to make. But I think they will take all of that into account. I mean, from our perspective, our priority has got to be on the delivery of services. And really, the management of the cybersecurity element of this is being done by the National Cybersecurity Team. So we have to focus on patient care and ensuring that we can continue to do that. But any decision around the ransom or how that might be treated isn't really one for the HSE.
You truly have some input, though. I mean, they must surely assess the thoughts of the likes of yourself or Colm Henry or Paul Reid, when they wanted to discuss whether this was important to get treatment back up and running.
I'm sure that will be part of the considerations. There's a large team of people working together as I speak in terms of looking after the cyber security element of this with Angora Síochána, with Interpol, and that'll be a deliberation for them and for government. They will of course have to take into account the views of the HSE in terms of where we're at, and particularly if it was to go on for any long period of time. Our position is that the longer this goes on from a health service perspective, the greater the risk.
One final question before I let you go, Anne. I mean, there's often been criticism that the health service needs to become slightly more centralised. Even there's been, you know, criticism of the idea of having voluntary hospitals even to begin with. And we saw at the onset of COVID, you know, how much we were handicapped by the lack of a single patient identifier, for example. There's pushes for reform in that area. Could you argue that maybe because our system isn't as centralised as it could or possibly ought to be, that actually it's come to our aid in this, that it means that any attack can't have taken down the whole system in a way that it might otherwise have done?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, Gavin. I think, you know, we have been, certainly the hospital systems have become much more developed. So we do have a number of very advanced systems like the NIMA system I mentioned for radiologists and for maternity systems and lab systems. But you're right, in the community services, for example, we have hardly any integrated systems, and therefore they haven't had the same issues. So it is probably the only time we will say that it has been a good thing that they don't have so many systems. But I think that, you know, there is no doubting the fact that we do need a single system in terms of electronic records. And we are now seeing the risks associated with those systems being down. So there's been a level of protection, I think, overall. I mean, this is a very extraordinary and unique incident. But overall, there are far more benefits in terms of having good integrated patient record systems, both in terms of just efficiency, but critically around patient safety. And that's what we're feeling now at the minute.
So if people then aren't sure exactly where their appointment stands, go to hse.ie, click the black bar at the top, and that's where they'll get the update that they need.
That's right. And we will continue to update that throughout today, tomorrow, and as long as we need to.
Okay. Anne O'Connor, thank you very much for your time this morning. I'll let you get back to doing, I'm sure, all the myriad things that you need to try and do this morning. That's Anne O'Connor there, the Chief Operations Officer of the HSC.